Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Caroline Fenton and Ian are here today. Trevor Maddich will be here later today. Loaded show. I am trying to multitask. We don't often have to do this, honestly, but I am trying to multitask. I have the Vols in Texas on right in front of me. If you're looking at the stream and you see me looking down, it's because my iPad is down where I have the game on right now. Texas up 3-2 in the bottom of the third, and the Vols just wasted a golden opportunity. Bases loaded, nobody out. They hit into a double play. Texas gets out of the inning without giving up a run. So again, it's 3-2 Texas. Blade Tidwell working in the third. He's walked the first runner, so he's probably not going to last very long. But let's talk about Vanderbilt. Let's start on Vanderbilt. I thought yesterday if they got that kind of pitching performance from Jack Leiter, 15 freaking strikeouts. If they got that kind of performance against an NC State team that has defied all the odds because they're not a national seed, they got smacked by Arkansas, ended up winning the Super Regional, they knocked off Stanford in the first game. Clearly NC State can play. But I still figured, okay, if Jack Leiter goes out there and shoves, Vanderbilt is going to win the national championship. I thought yesterday's game had national championship written all over it. And it was one of those kind of swing games where if you lose, it's like a 180. And Jack Leiter went out there and gave them an all-time performance. That's the kind of game that if Vanderbilt had just found a way to get one or two measly runs, the third best hitting team in the SEC, if Vanderbilt had found a way, we would be talking about that Jack Leiter performance all day today, and probably it would be referenced as the new, well, remember Jack Leiter's game against NC State? And Vanderbilt could not get it done. Now, I think there were a couple things at play here. See, a lot of people got mad at me on Twitter on Sunday when the Vols left all those runners on base and struck out in big moments, and I said the Vols have nobody to blame but themselves. And everybody said, well, when you lose, that's who you're supposed to blame. First of all, that's not how this works, especially with the University of Tennessee. We know they like to blame the refs a lot. We know they like to blame old coaches a lot. There's always somebody else to blame at the University of Tennessee other than themselves. That's neither here nor there. I can't look at Vanderbilt today and say, bad game, Vanderbilt. Now, I thought they gave away too many at-bats. I mean, it felt like too many times. Just three up, three down, back to the dugout goes NC State. And, Caroline, you and I were talking about this before the show. It feels like momentum in college baseball is more important than anything else because, quite frankly, the players really aren't that good. You know, this isn't like college basketball where there are guys playing that could legitimately be starters in the NBA right now. There is nobody in college baseball, with the exception of maybe the two pitchers at Vanderbilt, that could go into a major league game right now and probably hold their own. I mean, I literally think both guys could pitch in the big leagues today. Rocker probably in relief. I think Leiter could start, though he'd have to be out before the third time through the order. But there's nobody that's that good. Momentum in major league baseball, not that big of a deal. Because you're down a run. Well, you're going to get another crack at it at some point where it's Ronald Acuna Jr. or Fernando Tatis Jr. or Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Am I leaving out any juniors?
Those sound like most of the juniors.
Ken Griffey Jr.
There you go.
Okay, so you're going to get a chance where one of those guys comes up, and the momentum's not really going to matter because that guy's so good he can launch the ball at any point, anywhere, and just totally change the momentum of a game. These relievers in the big leagues are so good that they can come in and get out of huge jams. Momentum in college baseball is big. And Vanderbilt offensively yesterday never got any momentum. Now, there's two things at play with this. One, we got to credit NC State. I mean, again, I'm used to a Tim Corbin team going up there and battling in the box. You know, they are not going to just go up three pitches right back to the dugout. I mean, they're going to make the opposing pitcher's life miserable. And I didn't see enough of that from Vanderbilt. You know, I'm used to the guys like Ryan Flaherty, you know, the Tim Corbin kind of guys that literally will try to work a 13-pitch at bat. And I didn't see that yesterday from Vanderbilt. They had big opportunities. Dominic Keegan, once again, a no-show for Vandy at the College World Series. So I was disappointed by that. But we got to credit NC State. I mean, it's not an accident that NC State went on the road in the regional, won that, went to the number one school in America and beat them in the super regional, and then went through Stanford and Vanderbilt as easily as they did. It's not an accident. That NC State team is A, legit, and B, they're very well coached. I mean, throughout their lineup, everybody's a threat. Leiter was outstanding with 15 strikeouts. NC State put pressure on him. I mean, outside of the long bomb, in which, just like Kamar Rocker, he got a fastball up, and this tournament is a very unforgiving sometimes. And Leiter makes a big mistake, game's over. But they put pressure on Leiter. They put more pressure, in my opinion, on Leiter than Vanderbilt put on NC State. But you got to give NC State credit, because those pitchers were hitting the outside corner. Everything Vanderbilt made contact to was right at a guy. And that tells me that somebody's got a pretty good scouting report, because that's the plan. We've turned baseball into this society where everybody wants to strike everybody out. That kid from NC State yesterday was not trying to strike everybody out. I mean, sure, he got his fair share. It wasn't like Jack Leiter, who was just rolling through everybody. But they were pitching to contact, and he had a defense that made plays. First play of the game, and Ricky Bradfield Jr. lays down the bunt. I thought for sure, when I saw that ball kick back into fair territory, I thought for sure Bradfield was going to be safe. Incredible throw to get him. And all of a sudden, it just felt like NC State got some confidence. They got the one run they needed. So you got to credit NC State. I am not here today to just dump on Vanderbilt, though I do feel like perhaps Vanderbilt's chances at the College World Series might not be very good. I heard them again today, and we've talked about the loser's bracket at length. I heard today on the morning show they were talking about, you know, Vanderbilt's two championships, they never lost in that first regional part of the College World Series. And that's because you can't, because it is a death sentence. It is going to be so hard for Vanderbilt to get out of this. They have to win on Wednesday. Then they have to win on Friday. Then they have to win, I believe, on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, so, a win on Wednesday at least gets them
to Friday.
To Friday.
Right. But, I mean, you got to win three games. You win last night, you only have to win one. Now you win three. It's a very unforgiving tournament. So I think when I go back to yesterday's game, Leiter was outstanding. Vanderbilt did not hit. And when I say hit, I mean, we can all watch, you know, balls go off the wall or balls leave the yard or things like that and say, great hitting. But when I watch baseball, I want to see the approach of the at-bats. And I just thought Vandy, for a Tim Corbin team that wants to work the count, that wants to get runners on base, use their speed, put pressure on a defense, I just felt like they gave away too many at-bats last night. But again, credit NC State. They're obviously legit. I know they're not a national seed. I know they haven't been to the World Series since 2013. They're obviously pretty good. Like, that's how I feel about the Phoenix Suns. They're obviously pretty good. Nobody sat there before the season and said, hey, who in basketball is going to win the NBA Finals this year? Nobody raised their hand and said the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns are pretty good. And I look at NC State last night, and I'm like, they're pretty good. We need to give them credit. The third thing about last night's game, that umpire was terrible. And we've seen this with guys that are effectively wild, where batters are so afraid to get hit that they're nervous up there at the plate, so that when the guy does throw a strike, they react late and it's hard for them to make contact. You know, the guy that you're a little worried about, they call that effectively wild. That umpire last night, his zone was everywhere for both teams. And it was so inconsistent that those kids would go up there and they would not know what they could possibly swing at. It's like, do I swing at this? It's like a foot off the plate, but he just called it on the last guy. So I guess I got to swing at it. And then you take it, and he calls ball, and then it's like, phew, oh, goodness. Ooh, thank you. And I mean, you and I were talking about this before the show. The umpiring in the College World Series has not been up to par, at least behind the plate. And I felt like last night, Vanderbilt, again, a very methodical. They really, you know, they study their at-bats. They're very regimented. I felt like Vanderbilt was thrown off by the inconsistency of the zone. I didn't think the zone was like a pro NC State zone, But the inconsistency of the strike zone throughout the night was an issue for Vanderbilt. But I look at it and I think, man, Vanderbilt got the start they had to have from Jack Leiter. They didn't get the start they needed from Kamar Rocker. They found a way to win. They got the start they needed from Leiter, and they couldn't capitalize on it. And I think that this is where you look at Vandy and you say, okay, like, now we're really going to see if you guys are as good as everybody thinks. Because I heard Darren McFarland today say that he thinks Vanderbilt is the best program in the country. And you can think that. And I'm not saying Darren's wrong. But I disagree. Vanderbilt's won two national titles. That's not nothing. There's nothing to scoff at. But we don't consider Villanova the best basketball program in the country. So, like a team like Texas or Florida or the teams that go there consistently and win it more often than Vandy, I'd say, yeah, well, maybe we should think about them as the best program in the country. But if you're the best program in the country, you are not dependent upon two players. Alabama football is not dependent upon two players. Alabama football, let's take this year's team. They could lose Devontae Smith and they'd still beat Ohio State. They could lose Najee Harris. They could lose Mac Jones and they'd still beat Ohio State. They'd still beat Clemson this year because they're that good. That is what a great program does. So here's Vanderbilt now. Facing elimination, they have to win three in a row in order to get to the College World Series final. And then once they get to the final, it's going to be all missed and matched because it's going to be, let's say Vanderbilt gets there. It's going to be, you know, Rocker's going to have to throw in this thing. Leiter's probably going to have to work out of the bullpen at some point in this thing. And so you're talking about Riley and Little and guys like that who are going to have to pitch tomorrow night. So, I mean, they are going to have to gum it up. And the truth is if it's Patrick Riley tomorrow night, and I think it will be, or if it's Christian Little, you're going to have to hitch your way out of this. Like, you can't go up against NC State, score three runs, and expect to win. You can't go up against Stanford, score twice, and expect to win, because you're not throwing Kamar Rocker, and you're not throwing Jack Leiter. And you've used Maldonado, and you've used McIlvain, and you've used Murphy. And so this is where it gets like all Johnny Holstaff now, everybody out there. So if Vanderbilt is, if they really are the best program in the country, then you got to have the depth to be able to win this thing. Before, you didn't need the depth. If you got the starts from Rocker and Leiter, you need to find one way to win another game, and then you could turn it back over to Rocker and Leiter. Now you can't. We even were talking to Kevin Ingram yesterday. Okay, let's say Rocker and Leiter win games one and two, like Vanderbilt won game one, they win game two. They could have come back with Rocker on Friday, clinched their spot into the final, Leiter game one, Rocker's probably ready for game two or game three. So they literally could have won just by pitching those two. Now they have to win at least one game without either of them. And then they'll probably have to win another game because I doubt Jack Leiter will throw 120 pitches on a Monday and come back on either Saturday or Sunday. So if you are the best team in the country, if you are the best program year in and year out that everybody looks at and says, who's the best program in college baseball? If you think the answer is Vanderbilt, and the answer very could easily be Vanderbilt. I think it's a very subjective question. You can make a case for Virginia. You can make a case for Florida, who's not in the College World Series. Texas, TCU. I mean, there's a lot of schools in college baseball you can make this argument for. LSU has a great baseball program. If you're the best program in the country, you got to have the depth to get yourself out of this. But this is, it's not the situation the Vols find themselves in, but it's pretty bad. And that is why I keep telling people, don't get caught up in double elimination. Because it is a very unforgiving tournament. Jack Leiter made one bad pitch last night. He threw 120. He threw one bad pitch last night. And now Vanderbilt's going to have to rely on the rest of their pitching depth. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get Caroline's reaction to all of this. Again, Vanderbilt now into the loser's bracket, just like the Vols, who are trailing Texas 4-2 in the top of the fourth. They've got a runner on with one out. And Tennessee is going to need to get the bats out and probably need to get the pitching going. But again, It is now win or go home for both Vandy and the Vols. 615-737-1025. And I've already written the Vols off. Now, I'm watching this game, and I want the Vols to win, and I've already written the Vols off. Do we think Vandy's done? We'll discuss next. 615-737-1025. We are live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app and, of course, streaming on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, you name it, we're there. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Got him swinging 96. Strikeout 14. He leaves him loaded. Strikeout number 15 for Leiter.
We lost 1-0. It was a hell of a pitch game by both parties. Jack was outstanding. He was just so good in so many different ways. He attacked. He threw strikes. Commanded the ball. He just did everything he could to put his team in a position to win. Heifel was good. You have to give him a lot of credit. We just never got to the barrel. Just didn't have any base runners. So that's it.
Tim Corbin, kind of telling it like it is. He was good. They didn't get to the barrel. They didn't get any base runners. They didn't battle. Vanderbilt loses. Caroline Fenton, your reaction to last night's game. And this question for both you and the callers and texters, 615-737-1025, is Vanderbilt done? They have to win 3 in a row in order now to get to the College World Series final. Are they done? Your reaction.
Well, my first reaction to the game last night is if I am anyone else who was at the plate batting for Vanderbilt last night, each and every one of them owes Jack Leiter an apology, because Jack Leiter played his heart out last night. And I think you talked about this last week, that Vanderbilt had a sign of a good team and that they started slow. Kumar Rocker didn't have a great start to that game, and they found a way to win. I think another thing that we saw from Jack Leiter last night was he got himself in an uncomfortable position, was able to get himself out of it. He had the bases loaded with one out. He was able to pitch his way out of it. I think that is a sign of a guy who is mature, who has been there, and is able to stay cool under pressure. And I think it's something that we didn't just see from Drew Gilbert. Bases were loaded, no outs, and he got a double play. I think he was just swinging at anything and everything because he wanted to get a grand slam so bad. He wanted it so badly that he wasn't able to just step back and breathe and take the pitches that would have put his team in the best possibility to swing at. So I think that we saw a little bit of a difference there whenever they were put in big-time positions. So Jack Leiter, I mean, just had one heck of a game. And if you weren't giving NC State credit before last night, give credit where credit is due, because they are a darn good team. Kevin Ingram said it yesterday. Just because they're not a national seed doesn't mean that they're not a great team. They had a slow start to their season and then ended up playing really, really well toward the end of the season. Do I think that Vanderbilt is done? They're going to have a really, really tough test against Stanford.
It's a binary question, yes or no.
I think they're done.
I think they're done, too.
I think they're done.
I think they're done. By the way, Tennessee, RBI base hit. They've tied it at 4 in the top of the fourth with Texas. I think Vanderbilt's done.
Just with the pitching options that they don't have, you don't feel good about it.
And again, this is why it's an unforgiving tournament. Here's Texas, the number 2 team in the country, one of the best pitching teams in America. And they strike out 21 times against Mississippi State. Now they're playing Tennessee. They're already in their bullpen. So this great pitching team in Texas has already lost with their ace. Now their number 2 guy is out after 3 1/3, and they've already given up 4 runs to the Vols, who are the 3rd best team in the country. It is a very unforgiving tournament. I mean, I keep saying this over and over again, and I hope people understand it, but like, this is a very unforgiving tournament for Vanderbilt, and they had to win this one. They could have won this one, lost in the next game, and then been able to come back with Rocker if they wanted to, you know, on Saturday or Sunday or whenever that game would have been. Now you almost have to bank on Kumar Rocker getting the ball to get you out of this mess after you have to win one tomorrow night with Patrick Riley probably pitching. Then you have to bank on Rocker getting you out of it, and then you may not come back with Leiter. Now, I have a couple of thoughts on Leiter. One, and Joe Rexroth was talking about this today on the morning show, and every now and then, you know, like with a guy like Joe, and I like Joe, But Joe's only been here for 5 or 6 years. And every now and then, Joe starts saying stuff that pops into my head like, oh, Joe's only been here for about 5 or 6 years. Because Joe was talking about, oh, I don't think Corbin would bring Jack Leiter back after throwing 120 pitches. I don't think he'd bring Jack Leiter back on Saturday or Sunday. And I'm thinking, Tim Corbin once started Mike Minor in a regional on a Friday afternoon. I believe it was against MTSU. And they lost. And he came back with Mike Minor as a starter on Monday night. So he went with him on Friday, gave him off Saturday and Sunday, and went back with him on Monday. Joe's like, is that true? Because it seems so wild. And this is the one thing I hate about the College World Series. And I'm just going to complain about this, and people are going to get mad at me, and I already know how it's going to work. But these college coaches, we were talking about this yesterday. Alabama football is, it's amazing how much people care about Alabama football because it is minor league football. Mm-hmm. And college baseball is not even really the minor leagues. But these coaches always pretend like they care about the best interest of the player. And
you
then
think
they
don't.
No. Jack Leiter threw 120 pitches last night. 120 pitches. Let me ask you this question. If Jack Leiter is in Double A, and it's a big game in Double A, you think Jack Leiter's pitching 120 pitches?
No.
If Jack Leiter, let's say Jack Leiter goes third overall. Let's say he goes fourth overall to the Boston Red Sox. And so he's in Pawtucket a year from now, Triple A. And he's pitching for the Pawtucket Red Sox. You think he's going 120 pitches?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Well, is he pitching for a championship?
He could be pitching for the Triple A championship.
No, he doesn't.
Okay. Like, that's the thing. So yesterday I'm watching the game, and I see Leiter go back out there with 109 pitches, and I'm like, what is Tim Corbin doing? And this is not a Tim Corbin thing. This is a college baseball thing. Where if Jack Leiter gets drafted third overall and goes right to high A and blows his elbow out there, Tim Corbin's going to feel bad for Jack Leiter, but Tim Corbin's not going to feel bad like Tim Corbin did anything wrong. Because with all these elbow injuries and everything else, you can't really point to one person or one time and say it's irresponsible. But I tweeted this out yesterday, watched the game, like 120 pitches? Like, maybe, like, take the kid out? Oh, boy, Twitter got mad. Oh, Twitter got mad. Then I saw Keith Law, who was a longtime ESPN kind of, he used to be a scout, and then he was ESPN's like top amateur, like the Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN for baseball. Then he left and went to The Athletic. And as I'm getting all these Vandy fans and everything tweeting me like, Tim Corbin is the most respected coach in the history of baseball, and Tim Corbin would never, ever, ever, I see Keith Law tweet out 115 pitches and counting for Leiter. These amateur guys are keeping track of this. I remember when the Tampa Bay Rays had the first overall pick, and they were going to pick David Price. David Price started on a Friday and came back, I believe, on a Monday or Tuesday. And Tampa Bay, behind the scenes, was not happy that they brought David Price back out there. Now, sometimes I think we baby pitchers too much, you know, where it's like, oh, I just don't feel like we should throw the guy more than 90 pitches. Or I think it was Washington one year was really good, and they shut Steven Strasburg down because, nope, he's got his injury limits, and we can't pitch him. And then, like, a year later, he popped his UCL anyways. So I think there's a lot of that that goes on. I get it, whatever. But, I mean, Jack Leiter is a healthy 20-year-old. Take him out of the game. He's throwing 120 pitches. And that's just one little beef that I have with college baseball. And it's not a Tim Corbin thing. People are going to think that it's a shot at Corbin. It's not. It's a shot at college baseball. It's one of my big issues with the sport is that you're going to run a kid like that out there and have him throw 120 pitches. I asked my buddy who pitched in the big leagues, who pitched very well against Tim Corbin in the NCAA tournament. And I texted him last night and I said, do you have a problem with Leiter going back out there at 109 into the eighth inning? And he said, that's a tough one. He goes, that's a tough one because he's probably built himself up this year. So from a durability standpoint, he feels like he's got the stamina to do this. And he's probably telling Tim Corbin, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I got you. But the thing about pitchers is you got to take them out. They're not going to take themselves out. So That bothered me last night. Again, it's not a Corbin thing. It's a college baseball thing. But, boy, I watched Jack Leiter and just the electricity that came out of his fastball. And I think Jack Leiter, I said it earlier in the year, and I thought maybe I overstepped a little bit when I said, oh, I think this kid can pitch in the major leagues right now. Yesterday, again, he's not going to go eight innings and give up one run if he were to pitch in a big league game. I think you could give him the ball today, though. Now, it'd be tough, but I think you could give him the ball in a Major League Baseball game. If he gets drafted by a team in contention, and I have no idea what the draft order is, nor do I have any idea like what the standings are going to be come August, if I didn't have a bullpen, I'd consider it. If I didn't have a bullpen, I'd draft a Jack Leiter. Like, I'm the Red Sox, who I think are in contention right now. I think they have a decent team, and I'm in contention in August, and I need an arm. I'd think about using Jack Leiter. He's that good right now. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones. We'll get to your texts. We'll get to your thoughts, your Vandy thoughts. 615-737-1025. And there's one thing, though, about watching the College World Series right now that kind of depresses me. Sean Hundley is in for the Volunteers. They're tied at 4 with Texas. 4-4 in the bottom of the fourth. Texas has the leadoff runner on by a walk. Caroline, you know what they say about leadoff walks. They always come back to bite you.
Always.
Do not walk the leadoff, man. So that's the situation there, and we'll have full reaction to that game when it's over as well. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Let me tell all of the fine folks out there, ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tomorrow night as Nashville SC returns to Nissan Stadium to take on Toronto. Pre-game starts at 7:15. The match begins at 7:30. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
I mean, it's a one-game tournament anyway. It was North Carolina State today. It'll be Stanford on Wednesday. We just got more free baseball. That's fine. And what happens is more people get pulled into the fray, which is good. I mean, we brought 27 people. We're going to have to use them. But what Jack did is he preserved a pitching staff. He was able to, you know, finish the game. So from that vantage point, it's good because he kept the bullpen down. And he kept other people down. So, we're just going to have to use our roster, and that's fine. We've been in situations like this before, and we've played tough baseball, and we do have a resilient group, and you need to be when you come here. Everything's not going to go your way. And there's been a lot of people that have finished this tournament that didn't start the way they wanted to.
That was Tim Corbin, and I got to give Tim Corbin credit because he really spun it real quickly of, hey, Jack preserved the pitching staff. Hey, everybody we brought them here for a reason. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. And I've always got this thing on me where I'm always like, when I watch games, I think this goes back to like my days working in women's basketball, but like I'll watch a Titans game, something bad will happen. I'll watch, you know, a basketball game, my team, something bad will happen. Something will happen, and I literally every time, oh, I think Tony Vitello's just about to get kicked out of the game. We'll see. But we'll keep an eye on it. As Tennessee is still tied 4-4, but a runner was, I think they called catcher's interference or I don't know, something.
I do not want to be on the receiving end of a Tony Vitello rant.
I guess he didn't get kicked out, but
good.
One thing that I always used to do is I used to be the guy that was always, hey, we're okay. Down by 3/7 of a, hey, we're okay. We're all right. And it's just like a natural thing for me, just to be like, I will watch a Titan game and it'll just be me and my dad or me just watching the game. And it'll be like, and it's completed to T.Y. Hilton and it's a gain of 47. I'm like, hey, okay. Everybody's okay. It's okay.
We're good.
It's
all right.
It's all right. Yeah, it's all that kind. To the best of my knowledge, and I could be wrong about this because I haven't looked it up or anything. This is just off the top of my head. I think one time Tim Corbin has found himself in this situation and gotten out of it. And that was 2010 in a regional. I'm thinking back like in 2007, they're the best team in the country. They had David Price. They had Ryan Flaherty. They had Pedro Alvarez. They had Dominic De La Osa. And they played a game against Michigan that they lost. Mike Minor pitched. And they came back through the loser's bracket and got to the winner-take-all game. And they lost it. David Price was a losing pitcher. They lost. In 2010... they beat, I believe, Illinois State or Indiana or somebody. They beat them in the first game, then knocked off then knocked off, no, then lost to Louisville, then came back and beat Louisville twice. And when they did, they had Richie Goodenough and Grayson Garvin, or Garvin Grayson, or I can't even remember the guy's name. Those were the two guys that got him out of it. Those, Richie Goodenough never pitched at Vanderbilt. He starts in an elimination game in the regional, gets him out of it against a national seed on the road, gets him out of it, and then after the season's over, transfers to Lipscomb because he wasn't going to pitch at Vanderbilt. So, like, that's what they're going to have to do in order to get back in this. But Tim Corbin says, hey, a lot of people have been in this situation. The studies will show, Tim, that generally speaking, you need to win those games. And I am now looking at the Texas-Tennessee game, runners first and second. It's tied 4-4. Tony Vitello is on the field talking to an umpire. Another Tennessee coach, he's definitely gotten kicked out of the game. And there's a Tennessee staffer with a lanyard credential around his neck who is bringing the Tennessee coach back into the dugout. So I already asked today if we could use the ESPN thing and do some live look-ins, and I was told no. But gosh, I'd love to live look into this right now. Tony Vitello is screaming at an umpire right now. And now the umpire, now an umpire is telling the other umpire, hey, it's all right, cool it, cool it, cool it. And so now Vitello's still out there. Throw him out of the game.
He did get tossed.
He did?
Yep.
Okay. Like, and look, I like Tony Vitello, and I'm the kind of guy, I get to a point, though, where it's like, either get in the dugout or just get out. Just go. So once he turned back around, whoever 23 is, I guess he's like the pitching coach or something, he's definitely out. Because he threw something on the field, and he's arguing balls and strikes, so he's got to go. Oh, yeah, he's gone.
Apparently an assistant coach is yelling expletives.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to go. Then Vitello came back out, and I'm guessing Vitello is getting kicked out of the game, too. I think Vitello already got kicked out, and I think Vitello came back onto the field. It's crazy. We can't hear what's going on. So, Ian, we're going to have to put you in charge of following this.
Yeah, I'm trying here. I think he was the pitching coach, number 23, threw his little binder there.
He threw it on the field.
Yeah.
Vitello is still on the field.
What are they so mad about?
I think it was a called ball or a called strike. They didn't like the call there on a walk, it looks like.
This is one of these things, and I'm not a big parent step in.
Uh-huh.
Like in radio, we have it where the program director walks into the studio, and I mean, that is like legitimately, now it doesn't matter to me. Ryan walks in the studio when we were there all the time, but it is legitimately for the program director to be considered like a last resort.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering if Danny White needs to get down to that dugout. Because if it gets bad, and obviously every single person whose opinion matters is watching this game as far as discipline's concerned,
uh-huh,
you could win this game and be without two coaches. And I've seen it happen. So I'd be careful. And I get standing up for your players, but it's another thing when you now become the game. And I think that takes away from your players
it
when
does.
You do that. So
the players need your presence in the dugout, especially when they're going to be, it kind of looks like it's going to come down to the wire.
If I'm Danny White, I think I'm going down there because I got to make sure Tony Vitello, if my team wins, I got to make sure he's coaching on Thursday. Let's go to your phones, though, as promised. 615-737-1025. We will keep following all of that is going on. Again, it is 4-4 in Omaha, Tennessee, Texas. Texas has runners first and second with one out here. Let's go to Billy, who's going to kick us off. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Billy with his thoughts on Vanderbilt. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey, guys. Appreciate the conversation today. I don't call a whole lot, but I thought I'd get into this conversation. First of all, a terrific game last night, and I'll say something that has no place in sports, but when you think about who deserved to win that game last night, I mean, NC State, I watched the game as a Vandy fan, and I mean, almost from the first play at third, the kid made it NC State. I started thinking, wait a minute now, and I really thought NC State deserved to win that game. Now, as a former umpire that did anything from travel ball up to SEC conference stuff, I have to say that, Jared, your conversation briefly about the umpire strike zone was kind of out there, because I think you have to be honest and say, if you're going to say that strike zone in the upper quadrant was non-consistent, I would agree with you there to a certain extent. However, those calls went much more against NC State than they did against Vandy.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I do not think that the ump, like, I'm not doing, and you would probably agree with me that there's a lot of times where it's like, oh, the umpire, the referees screwed us, that's why we lost. I'm not saying that. I thought the inconsistency of the zone last night affected both teams, but especially the way Vanderbilt approaches hitting. And I think they were concerned. Like, there were pitches that they saw were out of the zone, but they did not. I felt like I could see the players felt like they did not want to go out of the zone to fish for it, but felt like they almost had to.
Well, and I'll give you this, too. They often showed that the ball that was about one ball on the other side of the plate that umpire was not giving. Hey, I'm telling you something. In college baseball, that's a strike almost 100% of the time. If it's about a ball off the plate, both teams expect that to be a strike, and he didn't give that. And you did make a fantastic point. It wasn't against Vandy or NC State. It was both sides. But at the end of the day, I just thought it was a terrific game.
It was a great game. And to your point about giving NC State credit, I absolutely think they – I think that that's the number one thing you have to do. Thank you for your call, Billy. That is the number one thing that you have to do is I think you have to give NC State credit. Like, I'm looking at this, and I'm giving NC State credit because, I mean, they're good. Like, they are legit, and this is what makes it even harder as we talk about whether or not Vanderbilt still has a shot is the fact that Vanderbilt's going to have to beat that team twice. They're going to have to beat Stanford, then they're going to have to beat that team twice. That is a tall ask. 615-737-1025. We'll go to your text on this, and we will figure out how Tony Vitello is apparently still in the game.
Yes. To clarify something I said earlier, Tony Vitello is still in the game, but an assistant got thrown out. Threw a binder, was throwing expletives. He's out.
How is Tony Vitello still in the game? Throw him out. And, like, I'm a Vitello fan, and I'm rooting for the Vols today. Like, I am a Vitello fan, but dude comes out on the field every game. Throw his ass out. Like, it's one thing for you to come out one time. You know, I think we see this in baseball, right? Umpire takes a mask off. Hey, that's enough. But then once the guy...
when he comes back...
once it's another... once
the hat flips around back.
Once I've said that's enough and you come back for seconds, see ya. I mean, just what a... I mean, and I think Vitello, and it's like I've worked for a guy who was at this point in his career, young coach, who was having success. And there is some sort of, like, there's kind of an arrogance to it. Like, I've seen this from multiple coaches. And Tony Vitello is a lot like this. I mean, there's nobody in that dugout that's going to tell Tony Vitello to pipe it down. There is nobody in that dugout that's going to look at him and say, hey, cool it. And sometimes you need that. Because I've been in that where I've seen a coach I was working for who has a lot of the same characteristics as Tony Vitello. I thought he was going to fight a referee one time, and I'm like, okay, at what point do I literally grab this man back? And I think every team needs somebody like that. I think if I was a head coach, the first thing I would do is I'd get somebody in there that can literally say, hey, cool it. I think everybody needs that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Texas, meanwhile, is lacing a ball into the gap. They'll bring in one. They're going to send the second runner, throw to the plate. I think he's... oh, safe. All right, if Tony Vitello didn't get thrown out, he's getting thrown out now.
Now he's getting tossed.
If he didn't get thrown out now, I think the kid may have gotten in under the tag, but it's 6-4 Texas. I'm sure Tennessee's going to want to review it. And again, I'm sure we'll see Tony Vitello here. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tomorrow night as Nashville SC returns to Nissan Stadium to face Toronto FC. Pregame 7:15. The match begins at 7:30. So Texas laced a ball in the gap, and it was a great relay by Tennessee. They threw the ball to the plate. I thought the guy was safe. This is just me. I thought he was safe. It was bang, bang at the plate. They called safe. Tony Vitello, who has really, I mean, walked the line on getting kicked out of this game. Vitello came back out of the dugout after the review. Now, the rule in Major League Baseball, and I don't know the rule in college baseball. The rule in Major League Baseball is if you argue with a review, you are out. Mm-hmm. Like, you are gone. And but Vitello didn't do a lot of arguing. He just stood there. But it looks to me like Vitello is getting pretty close to getting run out of this game. And they've already had, I think the pitching coach has already been kicked out of the game. Troy Tulowitzki, who is the volunteer assistant for Texas, has already gotten warned in the dugout. So we got umpires,
they're off the rocker.
It's apparently something. We're taking your thoughts. We will react to the Vols game when the game is over, which the pace of this game is probably going to be a while. We will react to it, though, when it is over. Let's go to your text line, 615-737-1025. Caroline, what's in there?
Texter texted in and said, Vandy is not the best team. They limped their way in. This is like the Predators making the playoffs. It's going to take luck to win this.
So I don't think that's the case. Vanderbilt's the number four seed in the tournament. They have one guy injured who pinch hit last night, Tate Colwick, and they have a 360 cleanup hitter. They've got the two best pitchers maybe in the sport. I think it's very different. I mean, again, going back to last night's game, and it's one of those things where if your team is the team who loses, it's hard to say that was a great game.
If your team, a great game, though.
Right. If your team's the one that wins, you sit back and say, oh, that was a great game. And it was a great game. I mean, that's how baseball is supposed to be played, where guys are going up there trying to make contact. I mean, I didn't think either team, you know, I always talk about the three outcome at bat, which is what baseball has turned into, which is just so obnoxious, which is either a home run.
Strikeout.
A strikeout or a walk. And Vanderbilt does not play that way. Thank goodness they don't play that way. And I'm watching it, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, these teams are just trying to barrel up the ball. Like, they're just trying to make contact. And there's great defense, and there's, I mean, the game was fast-paced. I mean, because there wasn't a lot of scoring. It was a pitcher's duel. I mean, it was a great game. But that's the thin line here between winning and losing. I mean, this is not the NBA where we pretty much know who the best team is every single time. You know, it's kind of like the Brooklyn thing. If Brooklyn wins against the Bucks, Brooklyn probably wins the NBA championship this year. Brooklyn probably wins it next year. But Kyrie Irving was hurt. James Harden wasn't the same kind of player because he was also hurt. KD couldn't find a way in overtime to win. They're out. It's a thin line. And in baseball, college baseball, it's even closer. I don't think Vanderbilt limped into the tournament. I think Vanderbilt's very good. I think the thing people have to understand about college baseball, and this could be just baseball in general, but especially college baseball, I think the NFL is kind of like this too, is just because you win a championship one year does not mean that other years you aren't equally as good or better. Vanderbilt in 2007, Vanderbilt was the best team in the country. They didn't make it past the regional. Vanderbilt in 2014 played a game against a very competitive Louisville team, beat them in the first round because they got one big hit from Dansby Swanson, and then they beat Texas in the next game in extra innings. They ended up winning the national title. The next year, Vanderbilt brings back a lot of the same guys. They beat Virginia in the championship. The next year, they lose to Virginia in the championship. It is very close. So I could not agree less. I could not agree less with the texter that I don't think Vanderbilt, I don't think Vanderbilt is limping into this thing.
Are they the best team? They could be. I don't know. But to say that they limped their way in, I think, is a bit of a stretch. I think that I would have been shocked, and I think a lot of people would have been shocked if Vanderbilt hadn't made their way to Omaha. So
I mean,
should be in there.
The two best teams, the two highest seeds still remaining, are playing an elimination game at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Like that,
the number one team in the country didn't make it to Omaha.
And they lost to this team.
Right.
And so I know what limping in is. The Mike Mularkey Titans, they got into the playoffs at 9-7 and knocked off Kansas City and went to New England and got housed. That was a team that limped into the playoffs. That team got in there, and, you know, how they won a game, I'll never know. But that team got in there. They won a game on their way. That's limping into the playoffs. This Predators team was never good enough to compete. I mean, Vanderbilt lost 1-0 their starter through 15 strikeouts last night. And you could make the argument that the Predators had all those overtime games against Carolina, but that's the first round. This is the College World Series. Vanderbilt's already won a game in the College World Series. And again, to discuss how thin the margin for error is, they won the first game in extra innings. That's college baseball. It's hard. Like, it is not an easy sport. And I keep trying to highlight that because I hear people get so fired up, especially the Tennessee fans before this thing, that were like, we're going to Omaha and we're going to win it. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not that easy. Texas is threatening up 6-4. Tony Vitello has gone to the bullpen to take Hundley out. And I think he had some words for the umpires on his way out there. I mean, he needs to cool it. I mean, seriously, like, I would say this. I've never been an umpire before, but I used to work with a high-level college umpire, a guy that would be umpiring the World Series. I don't know if he still does it or not. But I'm telling you right now that if I told Vitello that's enough, I'd make sure everybody knows, if I was umpiring, when I say that's enough, that's enough. And if I hear something else, you're gone. I don't care if it's a college World Series. I don't care. I mean, if we can have a kid accidentally hit a kid in college football with his helmet and be kicked out of the first half of the next game because of it, then we can throw the coach out for arguing 15 times. So if I'm the umpire and I tell Tony Vitello, hey, cool it, like, that's enough. It's 7-4 Texas right now. Runners first and third, two outs. Patrick Walsh in for the Vols. This looks like the game's kind of teetering right now. And if Texas gets a big hit here, it could be a lot of trouble for Tennessee. 615-737-1025. Speaking of a lot of trouble, there's somebody who I think got in a lot of trouble. And if it's real trouble, then I think it has a big impact on the Titans, though it has nothing in theory to do with the Titans. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.